And we're back.
Yes,
in studio.
I know this is a first.
Not in California. So I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And here, I'm gonna move over here and make sure we're in camera.
Let's get a little bit closer.
Yeah, let's get a little closer. I am wearing my Assassin's Creed hood and
in corporate suit gear.
Yeah, that's the first time he's... Yeah. Okay, good stuff. And really, we got a lot of stories, so let's just get into it. Okay. And happy Halloween to everyone. First story. Windows Phone says, hello, Nokia World.
Yes.
So, Nokia World, our friend Laura Foy was in London.
Yes.
And Michael O'Neill. And they're all talking about the new phones.
Yes.
The Lumias.
The Lumia 800 and the 710.
Right.
So for those who are going by code names, it is C-Ray and Saber.
Is that publicly disclosed, or do we have to stop?
They're both publicly disclosed.
Oh, okay, good. It's always funny when Clint gets fired. One of the other exciting parts is the news story about their music service, which I think is actually really interesting. Probably one of my favorite features is you don't have to log in. Like, it just automatically just works. You don't have to set up an account and all
it's
that stuff.
It's magic.
Yeah, and it's a radio service. So, and their turn-by-turn directions is another one that's supposed to be awesome. So, just because they do so much around GPS, so providing that for a phone and just building that in is a great reason to buy a phone. So, it's just a great GPS device.
I mean, the devices are amazing as well. Like, just beginning to play with the 800, I love it.
Yep. It's definitely really nice, and we were just talking about the speed of the HSPA, I think is the network.
Yeah, it's so, just blazing fast.
Yeah, so cool stuff. Jumping right along here, now, if you're a dev, you want to be able to see what your app is going to look like in the emulator. So this is an emulator skin for the WP7.
Yes, so this is the 710 skin here for Lumia. It's free from Telerik. Jeff Wilcox also has one, I know, for the Samsung Focus as well. So it's just a way to skin it from the base default. Just give your emulator a bit of a personalized touch.
Yeah, I think it's cute. So cool stuff. Now, another handy tool that we've actually covered on the show before is the screen capture tool.
Yes.
So, what's the new feature here?
So, the big one is they removed the interop unlock requirement. And the cool thing to me is with their phone, you click the little camera button, and it actually captures. So, to me, that's the cool thing. Before, I believe you had to use a time delay, which could... It to me, that just seems very hacky-ish. Because you could want to get something in the screen that's moving, but you miss it.
Yeah, exactly.
So here, you click the button, you click the button, and you're good to go.
Yeah, so the idea is, if you're a developer, you have a Windows Phone application, you want to take screenshots, because when you put your application in the marketplace, you got to take, say, a couple of screenshots, and you really want nice screenshots, this is absolutely the tool you must have.
The emulator nowadays can do a lot, but the key thing here is there are times where the emulator can't do what you need, and that's where I think this comes into play.
Yep, yeah. So jumping right along here, speaking of Windows Phone, friend of the show, Wade Wagner.
Wade.
Talking about the new Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone. So this includes, you know, new samples, the Tweet Your Blobs and the CRUD SQL Azure. Now, they did upgrade stuff because of the new Windows Phone Mango tool release. So, everything works on 7.1, RTW, the build for the Azure tools has been upgraded to 1.5. I'm trying to think of what other stuff is there. The shared access signature interface, so it supports more operations and more stuff.
And they made it a lot easier to get through, I believe, web installer, web platform installer as well.
So, cool stuff if you're doing Azure, a no-brainer pickup.
Yep.
No-brainer. Now, our next site is actually, it's not a site, it's an app that you can download and install on your machine that runs as a Windows service. So, the idea is you basically want to monitor your stuff in Azure. So, make sure that your Azure service containers are up, that you're actually getting, this is kind of like the down for everyone or just me, if you will. And the cool part is this is actually running on your own machine, so and it uses
Log4Net.
It uses a log for net. Yeah, exactly. So you can basically choose how you want the actual events to go in, because it's a provider model and so on. So it's a simple one, and certainly there's more complicated ones or more feature-rich like Azure Watch. So, but it's free.
Cool.
Yeah. SkypeKit for desktop video calling. So the idea with SkypeKit is really how do you add the Skype SDK to third-party applications, right? So you want to be able to embed this in your third-party application. Certainly, I expect Microsoft to look at how we'd integrate this into our applications and stuff, but with SkypeKit, it's really about, you know, a developer wants to put in there. And they also announced a marketplace.
Yes, I saw that.
So Trillion, as one example of a popular IM client, now has Skype support.
Which is amazing. It's just one more thing to make people, like, integrate everything into one app.
So, yeah. So definitely a lot of stuff there. And I think getting your app in their marketplace is another really interesting one. So, cool stuff. Now, I always like this. This is the top 10 best HTML5 and CSS3 books. And the reason I like this is because somebody's already done the work of looking at what the best books are and then deciding. And the one I've heard the most about is the introducing in the corner left there with the brown covers, the introducing HTML5. That's the book the Goo recommended to me when we were in some conversation on HTML5. So, but certainly there's other ones for CSS and CSS3, which really needs its own book.
Yep.
So to figure stuff out. So
I need to read a lot of those books.
Now, a friend of the show, John Galloway, did a post on, he's had some folks on Herding Code, but this is really on covering Node.js, and this is kind of like how to get started using Node.js in a speed.net MVC app. And the idea is you're using something called IIS Node, which basically lets you host Node.js inside of IIS.
Okay.
So, which means it gets all the process recycling and stuff like that. So, John actually walks through some of the libraries that you can use, the templating engine, some of the comparisons to things like HAML or nHAML for people that are using that templating engine and so on.
Cool.
Yeah. If you're looking to get started on Node.js,
I mean, lots of people are using it nowadays. So.
Yes. Now, building Visual Studio extensions with Roslyn. So we talked about Roslyn.
Yes.
Last week.
Let's go with last week.
Everything's a blur. But the idea is Roslyn is a compiler as a service.
Yes.
Right? So this actually doesn't walk through everything. Or this is probably more, what's the right way to say it? It's a surface review of the kinds of things that you can do with Roslyn for Visual Studio extensions. So one of the samples that actually is included in the Roslyn CTP, which you can get now, is something that does, you see the little call up here, that it lets you know that, say, you have a something that contains the letter A. So anything, if any of the symbols contain the letter A, it'll actually give you an error. So it does that code stuff automatically.
You're gonna just create tons of these and insult my code, aren't you?
I just think we need...
Clint used yet another tertiary operator.
It's when you have the nested tertiary operators.
I
and
don't
then,
nest them.
Oh, they're so... Oh, don't make me show you your examples of how your code is clever but unreadable.
I'm sorry. I
prefer clever versus readability. See, this is the... That's actually good job. Moving right along.
Okay, build flashback. Windows runtime internals understanding Hello World. So this is a build conference video. Regrettably, I did not get to watch this one.
So I saw this one, and, you know, we had a tradition in PDC of doing kind of Hello World and how apps work. So it does basically go through all the stuff of, you know, building a basic application and then seeing what's actually on your system. So all the package information, for example, as you can see in the screenshot, all that metadata about the application, the package, and the specific request that it makes to the system for what security stuff. All that, all the detail is all packaged into that stuff, so you can actually see the name of the app, the nice. Version of the app, and
so all it's one of those things where it's what happens under the covers. It's like, if you want to understand the meat grinder, check this out.
Yeah, in terms of what the system is actually doing to build and deploy your application, this is what it's doing. And I always like kind of having that low-level detail. And there's some stuff around here as well in terms of some of the compiler and IL stuff that I think people would find interesting, too.
Okay.
So, in terms of references and all that jazz. Which brings us to our picks of the week!
Picks of the week.
So, my pick of the week is the Channel 9 Halloween special. So, if anybody hasn't seen it, Connect to Kill. We're not going to give away what happened.
Clever.
You just have to watch it, and... kudos to Foy and everybody else that worked on this. So, lots of good stuff there.
Okay, next up.
And what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is by...
Pete Brown?
Pete Brown, there you go. So I'm blanking on him. It's a Getting Started with the .NET Gadgeteer. Background, setup, Hello World. Goes through the difference between some of the different manufacturers. Looking at them, I was kind of surprised at the specs... one cool thing I found out was that the power board that mm-hmm. you plug into is actually red. The specs say that power board has to be red, so you have a visual cue. And I thought that was just, that's really cool. It's something subtle, but then it's like, this board is power.
And yeah, so it, and for people that don't know, it's, what that means is if it's plugged in, you know you're getting juice.
Well, no, it's more of a, this is the board you need to be careful of. More or less. You have a visual cue saying, this is the board that has external power into it. Therefore, you don't do something like, hey, I'm just going to randomly plug this into one of the ports. Something like that.
And burn yourself.
I would say, not burn, but blow up the board, maybe. Something bad could happen.
Okay. Like, burn yourself. Great. And that's our show.